This episode of the Awesome Hour is brought to you by Concept Beard Co. Put it in your beard. Beard oils and bombs, handcrafted for the discerning gentleman. Go to conceptbeard.com and use awesome at checkout and save yourself 10%.
Hey, on tonight's episode, we're joined by Gavin Fitzpatrick, or the only Gavin ever if you're on Instagram. So we're going to talk to him and then we're going to see what happens. Ivan, hit the drop.
Welcome to the Awesome Hour.
I am the smartest man alive!
This is the source for all the things you didn't or even want to know, including all our bad life choices and mistakes, so you can stay awesome.
The Awesome Hour.
Hey, what's up? I'm Alex.
Chimpel Ivan.
And we're joined by...
Gavin.
What's up, Gavin?
Not much, man.
Just... If you're sitting in the basement, who the fuck's watching besides Brooks?
That could be a good
Probably
question.
Probably nobody. Shout out to Brooks.
Yeah.
How the fuck's it going, dude?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good.
Welcome to the Awesome Hour, filmed in suburbia, which
well,
you never know by the background set.
That was a great set.
Yeah, you like
it's it? It's a great set. I love it.
Sick. You're looking fresh. You're smelling amazing.
Thank you.
Repping Edmonton.
Always.
You found the place okay, obviously?
Oh, yeah.
Even though we've already had this, like, pre-chat?
No,
just,
it's all
like,
good.
Running
it's
through
good.
The bases?
Yeah, we got to run through it for the listeners, right?
Fucking dude, how's it? No Whitford tonight, no Corbo tonight, but man. We got twice the man as in Gavin. What's up?
Oh, nothing too much. Just got back from Banff for the weekend. Had a wedding that went out to out there. So.
Yeah, how was that?
Fucking so many weddings decent. This weekend.
Oh, dude, it was pretty nuts out there for weddings too.
Yeah.
Because I mean, like, there was the one that we were at in one room, and there's probably like four others.
Did the weddings just get together and make an ultimate wedding party?
No.
That should happen like a Voltron of weddings.
No, and then there was like a doctor's summit. Like,
and
it was like, wasn't just any doctor's summit, it was a plastic surgeon summit. And I was
so they were looking fresh.
Oh, like, I was just laughing because I was like, man, like, that's where all these Lamborghinis and like these Alpina BMW 750s are like parked it from. I'm like, oh, yeah, no, that's it's all big money. Yeah,
yeah, there's some money here.
Yeah, and there's some fuck money.
There's some fuck money.
As Virgil
surgery.
Would call it, right? Fuck money.
The
right?
Fuck money.
So
they got a sick skate park in Banff. I don't know if you skate, but yeah, they got a wicked.
Yeah, well, Unlimited been rocking it forever for the supplies down there, right?
Fuck yeah, so, yeah. There we go. Yeah,
always got to stop in and on.
They have a wicked logo. It's like the horns and stuff, and wicked storefront.
Totally 90s, like
oh, right?
Like straight 94, and that's just like
that
pure
shit's
classic.
Cool again, yeah, though. It's come so back classic. Around.
Like, look at all the kids wearing Thrash who never even like read their magazine.
Right.
So.
I just picked up the newest Thrash. They have a wicked article with Jeff Raleigh, because what year is it? He just 20 years of Vans, that dude. Mm-hmm. 20 years with Vans.
Oh, shit, really?
So, Gavin, I'm going to get to brass tacks. You're a bit of a fucking enigma on the internet. You're everywhere, but you're nowhere. So I'm going to treat
point.
You like you're the internet, and I'm going to search you, but in person. Does that make sense?
A little bit, yeah.
I'm going to pick your brain. Let's talk, Gavin.
All right.
Let's get down to it. So, Gavin, you're a little bit of a multimedia... guru, you're spinning lots of plates, doing lots of things, but I want to get to know early Gavin before he was filming documentaries, making web series, and just taking wicked awesome photos of awesome people. So Gavin, what's your backstory? What's your origin story, your superhero story?
Well, I am a NAIT graduate there from the RTA program.
Nice, okay.
So that was a fun time, which is going to bleed into one of my documentary program
your
subjects.
Things? Okay.
So we'll get into that part later on.
So you're growing up, you're a whippersnapper, you're like, I want to do something in entertainment. So you pursue NAIT.
Yeah, that was like the quickest solution. I mean, like Vancouver was there for me in school too. Like I went out there for a little bit, but like to really come and do the NAIT program was the easiest one for me at the time.
Did you go through NAIT with any names like your Fearless Freds or your Rhyme Eyes or anybody that blew up in the
pretty,
local
like,
scene?
Like Rhyme Eye was just like after me.
Okay.
So it was kind of funny as he's like there and like I've known.
You were froshing him when you were on your way
well,
out.
Well, I grew up with Fearless Fred too.
Okay.
So we're Northside boys.
Northside? What side of Northside? What's Northside for you?
Londonderry.
See, I grew up in
Londonderry,
the Downs.
Cherry Grove, you know.
In the
like,
Downs. We looked at you guys.
Little closer over to CV, you know, like a lot of my friends were little hood rat, but like I'm not going to complain.
Spent a lot of time at the old Clairview skate park, the old modular.
Shout out to, you know, all the Lebanese brothers in Geneva Gardens, like kicking
Walla
the shit
bros.
Out of everybody.
Walla bros.
Walla cousin. Walla. Yeah. Got a donair shop and a barber shop together, bro.
the freaking Lebanese guys on my block own both barber shops because they didn't want competition. That's just ingenious.
And they're probably cousins.
Probably.
That's the way it usually happens, is like the guy that they hate the most is someone that they're related to. Like, I grew up with quite a few of them, and that was always the way. It was like, oh, I hate that guy. It's like, but you guys are like first cousins. It's like, that's why I hate him even more.
Are you ME?
No, I went to school on the West End for high school.
Where'd you go to school,
JP? CNFX.
Me too?
Yeah.
What year? I'm 05.
2001.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I was just coming in as you were getting out.
Yeah, that's right.
Fucking. Yeah. That's awesome, dude.
I got a funny story about one of our old teachers from at one of the shows I was working not too
long
ago.
Oh, yeah? You want to drop it or you want to
save it for after? Saw Mr. Kreese rocking out in the mosh pit at Steel Panther, and I was pretty proud to see him giving it. Yeah, that was a...
So before, now we've left the origin story behind. How is Steel Panther? You were hanging out with Steel Panther? What the fuck?
Are they that crazy?
They're pretty cool.
Yeah?
They're pretty cool. I mean, like, most of those bands are pretty tame. Like, after backstage. Like,
I mean, it's a show. You gotta do the thing on stage.
Well, they'll do their thing on the show where it's just like, we got a fucking 8-hour drive to fucking Saskatoon.
No, legit.
Like, fuck this. I'm out of here. Like, I'm not getting drunk. I'm not dealing with a hangover on the bus. Like, so, yeah, no, like, a lot of bands are really cool, like, personally.
Yeah.
And they're not the character that you think, a lot of them, but some of them are the character. Like, it's like the gimmick.
Some of them get high on their own supply.
The gimmick has crossed the line, you know, they don't know where reality
where
and the gimmick
off,
is. Yeah.
Okay, back to Nate before we get to that. Yeah. Mr. Kreese, he was rocking out to Steel Panther.
Dude, it was awesome seeing my old physics teacher just giving her.
YFX, I wanted to get... everyone was going to O'Leary when
I didn't
want to
fucking go to O'Leary.
Me neither, bud. Did like, we just become best friends?
I think so.
The 150, did you bust it or did you have a license?
Oh, dude, 150 for 150.
For life. Yeah. We were probably on the same
bus
together.
And then my old man would drop me off, right?
Like, my mom worked at the hospital. She'd drive me, I'd take the bus home. Yeah. Holy fuck, Gavin, we're the same, dude, but you're way cooler.
Yeah, and then we'd have to like chill at Northgate and see whatever Queenie drama bullshit would happen there.
Just
like,
stay the fuck out of it, man. You just
dude, Northgate Terminal was like the shit for like fuck
Wild
reality
West.
TV show. Just go to Northgate Terminal.
Seriously.
Like,
go.
Yeah, it was Watch It Go was literally all you'd have to do is just sit back. Like, especially if you were like the quiet, nerdy white kid, you'd just be like,
shut the
no
fuck up.
No one's going to do anything to me because I am invisible to them.
You're listening to your Discman just hoping no one steals your bus pass.
Yeah.
That was me.
Or your Discman.
I hid that in my pants. They had to grow. They had to go in my crotch. Anyways, so never borrow my Discman, fun fact, because it's been on my balls.
That explains a lot.
So you go through Nate, and then what?
And then I ended up getting a job with Universal Music.
Yeah.
And I was like kind of doing the street team stuff.
Okay.
And a lot of promo and marketing. And,
this is pre-social media. So when you say street team,
well,
you
this
were...
was MySpace. This was like the cusp of the MySpace start, right?
Enter Nexopia.
Like, yeah. So Nexopia, MySpace era. Yeah. And yeah, there was budgets for advertising with record labels back then, and you know, it was a big team that we had nationwide. We would literally go and just poster and sticker everything. And
so
like,
how do you trip and fall into a deal with Universal?
I just like got lucky.
Yeah,
I literally got lucky on that one.
That's
and,
awesome.
And because of working with Universal, got to know the people at Union Events.
Yeah,
worked with them on a few things. I was like, kind of. It all started from being a volunteer at the Starlight Room. Getting people to sign up for those memberships.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
That's like, awesome.
That's literally where it started.
Huh. So if you're young and you're listening,
so
they're still making us sign up for those fucking memberships.
I know. And you know, it's so sad that like they're zoned for that members only liquor license still.
Fuck,
like,
man.
Like,
is that why they do that?
That's why because when they first opened as the Starlight Room from the Rev, they weren't issuing new liquor licenses because of all the bullshit that was going
so
on
it had to be
further
like a club
on
thing.
Jasper. So they were like, okay, well, we became a members-only club. So that's how they got around that. And then it was the whole venue thing. It was a liquor license.
Yeah.
So,
no
but
shit.
But it's all digital now, too. But I can never... Yeah. The fucking app. If you're listening, Starlight Room, it always crashes.
Fix your fucking app.
But anyways.
Tyson.
We're going to tag you in this episode, Tyson. That app crashes all the time, and I'm always giving $5.
Listen to the people, Tyson. I have nothing to do with what their opinion is on this. So.
No, the opinion of those at the Awesome Hour does not reflect those of Gavin.
Unless he agrees with us.
So you go into Universal. Okay, so you're doing promotions. You're rubbing elbows. But you also, you take photos.
Yeah.
You're also making stuff. So give us your story. You leave
so,
Nate.
Yeah, so I left Nate, got into that by just doing the volunteer job.
Yeah. But how are you paying the bills? Because there's a little backstory
there too,
right? Well, because
working on White Ave and stuff too, doing marketing and helping out in Filthies.
Yeah.
And, you know, was helping
rest
out
Filthies.
With...
Yeah,
RIP Filthies, yeah. Right? Shout out to Al, like one of the solid Edmonton dudes that's out there. Yeah. So, you know, he gave me a chance and... took me under his wing, and
are we
I just,
talking Big Al, like Big, Crash Al?
Yeah, like yeah, Al Goat Yelpson, like like the Al,
the Al
of Edmonton,
the guy,
man,
yeah,
for sure. And yeah, no, he kind of just took me under his wing and showed me how to party, and
that's awesome. But party with a purpose.
That's right, you know,
keep the people happy.
Yeah, that's right, and yeah, no, and then Universal, like I got let go from there with a bunch of other people too, and.
What was the best Universal moment before we leave that behind? Did you get to do anything?
Did a lot of like really fun like promotions.
Okay.
So like my profile picture is still one of the ones that I did for like Bloodhound Gang.
Yeah.
Which was like
fucking Bloodhound Gang. Remember their CD?
And that was the
thank God for boobies. You stick your tongue in it, and it looked like a tit.
Well, this was for the Foxtrot Uniform Charlie Kilo promotion. Put the you know what and the you know where.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm a banana. Dry humping a beaver next to the City of Edmonton sign with the RIP City of Champions sign on the bottom still. So that's kind of why I kept that one too, because I miss that sign. Like, got to bring
that apparently it's hanging in the Sonic offices.
Well, so. One of them is.
One of them.
One of them.
Three.
That was a spare. Oh. That was a replacement in case any of them got damaged from what I had heard.
Oh, really?
So somebody had just got their hands on it and was like, hey, Lane, I heard you wanted this, so here you go.
Can we talk about, just side note, Lane Mitchell is fucking ripped.
Dude.
That dude is jacked.
Dude.
Like, I always forget how jacked he is until I see him, like, saying
nicest
thanks.
Guy ever.
Totally.
Nicest guy ever, too.
Ripped to the max, though.
Oh, he's like, putting all dad bods to shame.
Oh, it's gross.
Like, it's like, dude, just like,
he
step
came,
it back a bit.
He came out for K-Days and introduced AJR because it took the kid, and he came out with his kid, but like... Lane Mitchell is fucking ripped. Sonic 102.
Yeah, I haven't seen that guy in like fucking forever. Why don't go stop?
Oh, if you're not from Edmonton, this podcast will be interesting, but it's very Edmonton centric at this point.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Edmonton's a great city, though. Like,
people shit on it.
Like, people who shit on it haven't been anywhere else to appreciate it, I think.
Fair enough.
You know, it's the hometown losers who've never, ever gone on vacation for an extended amount of time or just ever done anything.
Jesus, fuck.
Like, yeah, he's ripped.
Like, yeah, exactly.
He's a very
like,
jacked individual.
You know, he likes to work out and he likes to eat right.
Yeah.
So,
no shit.
Yeah.
Good on him.
You know, so,
He's got good hours to work, too. Can't complain about his schedule, I'd say.
Right. No, he's afternoon guy,
you know,
so he gets
4 to 5 hours
sleep.
A day with a couple bit hours of prep in there, which you probably can do in cardio.
Right.
Which I envy.
You're not a cardio guy?
No. I envy that he can, like, do his,
he's
like, prep work while he's, you know, doing cardio or at the gym,
fair
right?
Enough,
like, that's, it's nice to be doing a job like that where you're not glued to your laptop or, like, your phone screen.
Or your
or anything.
Pager.
Like,
don't want to be glued to your
dude,
pager.
My pager, like, just keeps blowing up.
Like, you're the only one with one, that's why.
I still got it on the gold chain.
Well, what? Okay, so you leave Universal, you did some cool promotions, you cut your teeth, then where do you go?
Then I'm over with the live production stuff.
You're doing the
live
stuff
now. So then that's where
now.
I've been now for most of my time until I got
told
into...
I
know, it's a close one, but I caught it.
Neo good save.
So then that gradually moved me over to the strip club industry, which I did as a part-time thing.
Yeah, you had to put bread in your mouth, and
it was just kind of boredom killer too.
So and you're saying so any wicked adventures come from the strip club? How do you fall into that?
Well, that one was like a complete fluke too.
Yeah,
like my friend Paul, who was like the head DJ at Showgirls at the time.
Okay,
shout out to Paul at the Bourbon Room. That's where he is now.
That's where he landed after Showgirls closed.
He's the owner out there at the Bourbon Room, St.
Oh,
Albert.
Shit, nice.
So,
okay,
yeah, it's good little place too for especially for the more mature crowd.
Yeah, well, that's St. Albert.
So it's St. Albert, but I mean, like, he's done a great job in that space. So,
awesome.
Yeah, and he's just like, hey, do you want to like DJ a couple days a week here? I need a new DJ.
Yeah,
and I was like, not really a strip club guy.
But that was before streaming, so you had to download all your music, or did you have, like,
It was, like, the beginning of the, like, YouTube download sensation kind of things. Like, or, like, it was funny because some girls, like, depending on some of the clubs that they go to, like, they just don't give a shit. Where they'd be like, just here, play my phone. Plug my phone in. I have a playlist. And it's, like, they don't get, like, the cue points. They don't get this. And it was just, like, so funny because it would be, like, no, like, tell me what you want. I'll download the songs. I'll put it on the DJ thing here. I'll try and make
and
it
I'll
better
And I'll make it
for you.
Not sound like
and
a fucking playlist.
Or it's like, just put it on YouTube. Just play YouTube. And it's like got don't a worry about the two ads. And a half minute commercial, ad, yeah. But in the middle of the song, because like
when she takes a break, she takes a smoke break. What are you talking?
Yeah,
about?
And it's like, and then you got to wait 30 seconds to skip it. Yeah. Like, oh, it's like, you know. So it was like, it was so fun though, but not every girl was a nightmare. A lot of those girls, like, I cannot like deny it. They are workaholics.
Oh, 100%.
Like, so they are hustlers.
Yeah, they got to hustle to make that money.
They are
so hustlers. You got your core group that work it, and then you have your traveling acts, right?
And
so
those ones are hustling even harder.
Because they're on the road. Yeah. They're road dogs. They're the road dogs of the strip community.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. And like,
okay.
Yeah, those girls, like, man, those girls can work, dude.
Well, look at like, Cardi B, bruh.
Yeah, bruh.
Bruh.
Like, you got to learn how to drug those guys somewhere, right?
Right? Dude, that new movie Hustle with J-Lo.
Yeah.
Can we talk about J-Lo for a sec?
Whew.
She's doing okay.
Okay.
Was she ever not doing
she
okay?
Aged like a fine cheese. Just amazing.
I'd say she's doing all right.
That was a I'd good McConaughey. Like
for 55? Is that what she is now?
No, like, she just turned 50.
50? Okay.
Well, I don't know that. I mean, I read that online. I don't know that personally.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, no, she's 50. She's
well, either way, I mean, like...
She's doing okay.
MILF porn's probably going through the spike every time guys, like, see her on the news, too, so...
MILF porn? I feel like we've graduated from MILF porn into, like, tentacle porn. MILF porn is so 5-10 years ago.
It,
now we're...
It depends. It depends on the, like, the age of the MILF now, though.
What about MILF tentacle porn?
I feel... Well, maybe not MILF porn. Maybe it's, like, stepmom porn, because that's huge in the internet. It's, like, Well, that's a phone call. Very professional. Anyways, the internet has just moved way too fast. Like, the
it
normal
has.
Stuff
like,
is, ain't like, doing it anymore, I hear.
Like, kids don't know how bad or how good they have it.
No.
I've told the story
like,
before.
Do you remember when we had to, like, look for porn in the woods?
Dude,
we have
forest
an episode
porn.
That.
Yeah.
Episode
I found
that.
Johnny Porn Seed. I swear to God, there's like a guy who's just walking around just throwing pages of porn like he's Johnny Appleseed.
I feel like it was a rite of passage. At one point in your life, you left a box of porn in the forest for the next generation.
Yeah.
And that got used. That was communal porn because you left it where you found it.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
you each went to your separate bush and you looked at your porn. Sometimes
well, like,
you didn't go
the whole neighborhood that I grew up in Cherry Grove there. Like it was just a big wooded area that fucking bush parties were out there
all
the
time.
Right. Like, so like mom and dad didn't want me going riding my bike on Sunday afternoon because they knew like, oh, there was a big party out there.
People are still waking up. Yeah.
Probably like people still waking up, use condoms everywhere. Shit like that.
Yeah.
And, like, if there was even used condoms there, who knows?
But condoms
like,
and Clairview?
What are you crazy?
That's where all the porn was coming from.
I
just
guess.
Like,
I got the beer and the box of porn.
Hey, I got a couple club magazines and a six-pack of club.
Oh, my gosh. Club, Circle Hustler. Jerks. There was never Playboy because that was lame. You
wanted
the
that
hardcore
was lame.
Stuff.
I want to read the articles.
No.
Articles.
For the old man.
You can read?
So you go to the showgirls. Did you do the entrances, like, coming down to the stage?
That was literally,
long
like,
legs, laddie.
Yeah, like, I would always try and think of, like, funny things to say, like...
Yeah.
Like, I remember one night I was doing it, and I was just like, that's right, you better get up there, because just like the McRib, she's only here for a limited time.
That's amazing.
And some girl came up to me and was like, excuse me, but did you just compare her
to a McRib?
To literally to a piece of meat? And
that's
I was like,
amazing.
Yeah, have you ever had a McRib? They're fucking amazing, just like her. Sit the fuck down and have another drink.
That's a great rebuttal, my friend.
Like, but it was true. Like, as far as rebuttals go, I mean, like, McRibs, you can't fucking deny McRib.
No, right? Like, where have they been? They haven't been around lately.
There's a McRib app.
Is there really?
There's
where you can follow them?
You can find out which McDonald's still have McRibs.
I've never been to the East Coast, but I want to have a McLobster.
There's one in Orange County.
Blech.
A McRib?
Yeah, there's one McDonald's that's still serving McRibs in Orange County.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, it sounds like I'm going on a mission when I go to Anaheim.
There you go.
I want to go to California.
So how long were you doing the strip club DJ slash?
I was in the strip clubs for almost 7 years.
Okay, so that's
so you
that's
see
a chunk
shit.
Of change.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Best story out of the strip clubs. Best whatever comes to mind.
I got a good one and a bad one.
Okay, give me the good, give me the bad.
Well, the good one was like...
Tell me both and I'll pick them out.
Okay. I broke my arm and dislocated my shoulder in one strip club.
Okay, that's the bad.
Yeah, that was definitely the bad.
You made it too
easy. But one of the best ones was when I had to pick up Slash from the airport during Boonstock.
Okay, and give us the dislocated, then give us the Slash.
Okay, so
everybody has a Boonstock story.
Yeah,
Lord knows I want to hear yours.
The arm one, it was pretty civil, like just fucking around, thought I
just
could
polishing
like
polishing the pole, just, slipped.
No,
and fell.
We were just like getting ready to leave for the night, and next thing you know, I was like trying to carry her, and she jumped up, and like I went to fall, and I tried to break my fall on the wall, and I missed the wall, and there was like a angled part that they had underneath the wall, which changed my fall and snap like right on my humerus right here.
Oh fuck! Yeah, so you broke your arm, she broke her neck. That was the first time you killed.
And then
a
the funny
stripper.
Thing was, because she thought I was playing around still.
You're like,
so
no,
she, like,
it is
on,
useless.
She like, jumps on top of me and starts like riding me like a fucking electric bull. And I'm like yelling at her, like, get the fuck off of me. Like, and I kind of got winded too. So I'm like,
she thinks you're jizzing.
Just like trying to reach around with the other arm. Because this one's just like side, damn side neck. Like, all limp and shit. So, you know, I go to the hospital and they're like, yeah, your humerus is fractured, like, right here in the rotator cuff. And
how did this happen? I'd rather not tell you,
actually. No, I straight up told them and they were like,
it's could have been worse.
I mean,
as stories go,
it sucks the results, but great start.
So how long are you in a cast for?
Oh, I wasn't in a cast.
What'd they do?
So like sling you? They came and told me like, so this is like the deal. They show me my x-rays and it's like, yeah, you're gonna need surgery and we're gonna need to put an implant in on you.
Oh fuck, so do you have dead person bone in you?
No, I got a plate.
Oh, okay.
I got a
shit.
Plate, like I got like the start of a Terminator arm.
That's cool. Awesome. So they have the technology.
And so they were like, we can put you in with the trauma surgeon now.
Oh fuck.
Like right now.
So you've already worked a night
and now it's 5 o'clock in the morning at this point. I've already worked all day and night, and now it's like, okay, so when can I go for surgery? They're like, we can put you in with the trauma surgeon now.
Yeah.
Or we can put you in with the specialist in 36 hours.
I'll go with the specialist, please. You want a specialist?
I'm with specialist.
Yeah. Deal with the pain, because trauma,
dude. It was the same doctor that worked in McDavid.
Oh, shit.
After he got crashed into the boards. And when they told me that, I was like, yeah, I'll take that 36-hour wait minimum.
Yeah.
And like, they were like, well, it's a minimum wait. I'm like,
you just wanted to throw in the fact that you've had the same person that was inside McDavid, inside you.
The best part about that 36-hour minimum wait that they were saying was like, well, I got to stay on fentanyl, like, under supervised conditions.
Fuck.
So that was like...
You survived recreational fentanyl.
Oh, dude, it was like that... I don't know how anybody would want to do that for fun.
Seriously?
Like, I saw how much care and control they put into, like, a dosed shot.
Yeah. So you were
like,
at the hospital for the 36.
Yeah,
okay.
And, like, it takes, like, a good 2 minutes for them to give you your dosage.
Oh, fuck.
Like, if they just slam on that plunger, like,
you're
it would kill
toast.
You.
Yeah.
Well, it's
so,
killed a lot
it,
of people.
And it has. And, like, rightfully so, because, like, I did not care about anything for 2 days.
That's fucking crazy.
And then after, like, got taken down to surgery, wake up, and, you know, I'm in a sling for almost...
Yeah.
For a couple months, and it really sucked, but...
Oh, wow.
You know, that was a lesson learned, I guess, but, I mean, it's a cool story to, like, tell everybody.
No
it's
shit.
Like, yeah, hey, I broke my arm because of a stripper,
From one cool story to another.
Yeah, and then so...
Slash from the
Slash,
airport.
Slash, yeah. So I had to pick up Slash late one night, and he had flown into Edmonton from Ibiza.
What's Ibiza?
Weird.
In Spain.
Yeah.
So didn't the chain smokers write a song, Getting High in Ibiza?
Took a pill in Ibiza.
Yeah. I took a pill in Ibiza.
They hold huge rave parties out there.
Fun fact, I thought it was Ibiza until right this second.
Well,
so.
that's like the official pronunciation for like the Spanish.
Okay.
It's like, And they have huge DJ parties out there all the time.
Yeah.
And so I guess he was there with his wife at the time.
Okay.
And she was a big fan of a lot of the DJs and electronic scenes. So... Go and pick him up. It's like 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
And he's just on an overnight flight and he's wired. He's got jet lag, but he's, you know, like, hey, I was just partying like in Spain. Like, he doesn't really drink or do anything anymore. He's all straight edge. But he's just down to hang out with cool people.
Yeah.
Like, just,
he's down for the experience
and
now.
Like, and so he's like,
it's getting high up
he's
your
like,
energy.
Well, what can we do? And I was like, well, we can go to the strip club that I work at when I'm not doing the concert stuff. And he's like, done.
Sweet.
So me and his like bodyguard and him walk right into Showgirls, and it was so funny because everyone's like, why are you here? Like, it's your night. Oh,
that's why you're here.
Is that fucking Slash? Like,
does he ever take the top hat off?
No, he doesn't take the... He only wears the top hat on stage.
Oh.
Yeah, but he was rocking a toque.
Oh. The old beanie,
so,
if you will.
But it was like, that hair is...
That's a
like,
lot.
Undeniable.
Yeah.
Like, undeniable.
You know who's got that.
It's when he puts on the aviators. Once he puts on the aviators, those mirrored aviators, everyone's like, oh, fucking Slash. Holy shit.
That's nuts.
It's so funny because no one really recognizes him without those sunglasses.
Yeah, no shit.
But yeah, no, the hat.
Does he have beady eyes? What's that? I've never seen him without under the sunglasses.
Oh, he's super cool dude. Yeah? Super nice guy. Loves dinosaurs.
Really?
Oh. Absolutely loves dinosaurs.
Great segue because, Gavin, a thing I want to start is, what's your favorite dinosaur?
My favorite dinosaur?
What's your favorite dinosaur? I'm going to ask
Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Okay, that brings me to a random thought, even though we're talking about you. Do you think T-Rexes jumped around like kangaroos, maybe? Because they kind of look like just big lizard kangaroos.
From what I've read, they couldn't have run faster than 20 miles an hour. Yeah.
But they didn't have to run because they hopped, because T-Rexes are just ancient kangaroos.
Would make sense. I mean, they kind of look like they're built like a kangaroo with that big, long,
strong tail. Did you just
agree
with me?
Kind of agreeing, yeah.
I will take what I can get.
But I mean, like, unless we can get in a DeLorean and, like, get back there, we won't know for sure, right?
And they might have had feathers, too. That's something
that we
don't
know. Seems believable. I can believe that one. Like, we're starting to see those fossils more and more prevalent with the feather prints and stuff. So, yeah, that one I can see being, like, pretty close to, like, reality of what happens. So.
Well, thank you for agreeing with me, Gavin.
No worries, man.
You just made it in my good book. Anyways, so you're hanging out with Slash. So those were the two best stories from the strip club. Okay, strip club, now back to you're doing the live music thing. So apparently you're also picking up and shuttling celebrities around.
That was part of it.
So what was your gig in that scene that you're still doing?
Doing, obviously, like artist transport for that one.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
So you would go, you're picking them up. So who are some of the big names that you picked up? Who did you say, held a little sign saying Slash or,
well,
I don't know, Yoko Ono?
I mean, he's
going to
lose his shit when I tell him this one.
Let's hear it. That's why you're
the
here.
Through the Never Project was probably the coolest one.
Yeah, you fucking mentioned that. That is fucking
so
awesome.
Break it down.
Picking up Metallica from their private plane on the tarmac at Edmonton International.
Like, that's legit rock star shit right there. Like, that's
so when each
awesome.
Of them had their own SUV.
How do you handle that,
like,
when you're given,
like, so
that
four
task?
Matching SUVs? Like, it's like, oh, okay, cool. That's where I gotta go. Like, that's literally. It's like, okay, just go here and pick them up.
Okay.
And then it's like, okay,
so do you
cool.
get your own SUV at that point? They just
you. Yeah, it's like you get a rental given to you because they want them all matching. Sometimes they're very specific on motorcade requests.
Yeah,
it's
like,
oh,
really?
It has to be black.
Yeah,
has to be black. A lot of hip hop artists only will get in black SUVs.
Really?
Yeah. That's... And they have to be clean.
Of course.
Like,
so
like super
sense.
Clean. Like, even if you've been driving around all day, it's like, go wash it.
Yeah. Really?
It's like, yeah.
They want that.
It's like,
they
gotta
want
pull
to...
up fresh, bro.
Yeah.
Gotta pull up
fresh.
Fresh
and clean.
So
you're given Metallica. Mm-hmm. Do you guys Rochambeau for who gets to pick up who?
It was, like, so weird because, like, James just got into mine.
And you're like, I win.
And I was just like, well, this is pretty cool.
Watch Lars get another one.
And,
fucker.
And, well... Had a funny story driving Lars later.
Oh, okay.
So
give us the Metallica story. So you're doing Through the Never, which was a project. It was a two-nighter here in Edmonton.
Yeah.
And they filmed it, became a DVD, Blu-ray, documentary.
All that. It's on Netflix.
Through the Never was them traveling through all their albums, correct? I was there, but
well,
I had a bad time.
They sold it as the Total Arsenal.
Okay.
Which was basically, we're bringing out all of our major props from every major tour that we've had in
and
the
it
last.
It was fucking cool
20,
as
and
fuck.
And it was cool as fuck.
Yeah. A la Iron Maiden through the timeline or whatever, when they brought all their props,
like,
out.
From Kill 'Em all the way up
Injustice,
to...
Injustice, they're all right there.
Yeah. So, like,
so Doris, Ivan was there. Me
Doris
and Ivan
was
were
the
both
big
there.
One there. Like, they actually rebuilt Doris to make it bigger.
Yeah. Oh, really?
So that it was...
So she would pop.
Stand out
the
more.
The giant toilet was fucking amazing.
The toilet
metal
was
up
the
your
best
ass.
For metal up your
yeah.
ass.
That's awesome.
And ride the lightning when the electric chair came down from
right.
the
oh, yeah.
Tesla
fuck
coils
yeah.
firing
yeah.
off. Like, that's like amazing, like, effects right there. But it was so funny because James gets in and he's just like super chill, like right away. Like,
are you given specific instructions?
Sometimes
like,
it's
don't
like
talk
don't
to
talk
him.
To them, don't touch your phone, like just like sit there, like just
you're the driver,
drive
that's
them.
It.
That's
yeah.
it. Like. And then sometimes it's like you get all these directions and then they're just so fucking
they're
cool.
Just people.
Like, and they're just like, fuck those rules.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm going to break them.
Like,
we're going to talk.
Like, James was like, it was just me and him.
Yeah.
No assistants.
Did
no
you
anything.
Talk about beekeeping?
And, well, he wasn't into beekeeping yet. He was still in San Francisco at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
He hadn't moved out to Colorado yet.
Yeah. Okay.
But he's just like, how's hunting here? Like,
sick.
First question, because he's just looking at the prairies, like,
mm-hmm.
out, like, you know,
yeah,
coming
I
want to
go
in.
Kill something.
And he's just like, hunting must be good here. And I was like, yeah, it's pretty decent. Like, what are you into? He's like, anything.
Yeah.
Like, anything that's fun. Like,
that's awesome.
So I was like, birds or big game? He's like, big game for sure.
Yeah.
But I'll go duck hunting. I'll go
deer.
And yeah, it was like, I told him what the average size of like a whitetail is up here,
yeah.
He's like, 180 pounds? Jesus Christ, those are huge.
So are you just like an encyclopedia of like a little bit of everything just so
know.
You always...
I just try to. Like,
because you went off on things. The T-Rex thing, and I was not prepared for that, Gavin. I was not prepared for you to know what the fuck you were talking about there. But anyways, and then you're just dropping whitetail knowledge on James Hetfield?
Well, I know that like deer in the States are really small compared to what we have here.
Why
like,
do you know that? I don't know
well,
that.
Well, just from experience, seeing
That's...
them.
Fucking die, yeah. I gotta like, get out of Edmonton more.
Like, they're tiny, bro. Like, yeah. They're like 60, 70 pounds.
Okay.
They're like, that small?
People hit them with their cars all the time.
Like, yeah, like, we hit no animals with our cars, we're fucked.
Like,
well, you see motorcycles hit deer in the States like, and they don't die.
I guess they go through them.
I was out with All Hail the Eddie, and we were leaving in St. Louis there.
Yeah.
And I counted like 43 dead deer within like 15 minutes of leaving the city limits.
Yeah.
And just as I'm like literally saying, 43. A car in front of us, like
hit 44.
Deer comes running out of nowhere between a divided highway, just from the Meridian, just jumps out in front of this guy's Lincoln, and he just stepped on it even more.
And kept going, yeah.
And he just drove right through
it. Yeah, he was
and
driving
then,
a Lincoln.
Then,
he might as well
yeah.
be driving a boat.
And then I'm in a 15-passenger Savannah with a trailer, and I just yell out, oh shit, a deer. And like Connor, he's in the back, the singer, and he's like trying to like lay down. I don't know what the fuck. He's on his phone. And all of a sudden he's just, holy shit, what the fuck was that? Like,
that was a deer.
And it was like, yeah, it was a deer. What the fuck? You hit a fucking deer? Like,
no,
like,
the dude in front of us did.
The dude in front of us hit it. I just ran over it.
Yeah, I just finished the job.
So, yeah.
If anything, I was humane.
And then
so.
We had to pull over at the next gas station, literally
clean
the
up.
Guts off the trailer.
Oh, that's fucking nuts.
And it was funny, too, because there was, like, pieces of it in the grill.
Yeah.
And it had already dried out. It looked like pieces of beef jerky.
Oh,
like,
that's yucky.
Just, like,
give it
gross.
A taste.
You're just, like,
kind of funny, like
wiping all
like,
the deer off and apologizing.
All things to happen, like, you know, it's like, you get to run over the deer that Buddy hit and like knocked it over, right? Like, so
that was a tag team.
Little... But hey, like, that was funny. Like 44 right there, right?
Yeah.
So
that's nuts. Yeah. So you pick up James, you talk deer. What else did you do? You weren't just shuttling people. You also had your fingers in a bunch of other things during that
just
event.
Just helping
correct?
Him out with everything.
So you were his go-to guy.
I basically became his go-to instead of just his driver.
That's cool.
Like, so that was
that's
fun.
Pretty dope.
And so I ended up going and getting him some caribou and elk steaks.
Yeah.
Down at South Side here, one of the...
Darcy's or some shit?
Not Darcy's.
Darcy's St. Albert. Anyways, we're talking local butcher shops.
Yeah. But he hooked us up.
Sick.
And James is like, I was like, how are you going to get this across the board? He's like, dude, I'm flying private. We're going into like San Francisco airport. They know us. They're not going to stop me.
Yeah.
I think this is the first time I brought
like,
elk meat.
He's probably going to like slip a fin to a couple of those boys. Just be like, hey, you didn't see this.
Look the other way.
Like,
yeah.
Lars eats people. So like the elk meat's nothing.
Yeah. So then like first night, you know, Lars is getting ready to come out. And so James and Robert came in one side of the arena.
Yeah.
Lars and Kirk come in the other side of the arena.
Yeah.
Kirk's already in the one SUV. Lars's kids are in the SUV that I'm driving.
Oh, so he brings his family.
For this show he did.
Yeah.
And his wife was staying backstage, but his kids were already in the SUV ready to go with his security guy.
Yeah.
And Ecstasy of Gold is playing.
Okay.
Like, it's fucking playing.
Cool.
Like, it's starting. And Lars is just
taking his time.
Doing Lars. Yeah.
Shaking his sticks.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, the show's starting. I better go.
Oh, dude, that is
then,
an
like,
amazing impersonation.
He runs in to the SUV, and now it's my fucking problem.
Yeah, you got to get
him
there.
That he's fucking late. And, like, just as he's getting in, his kid's like, hey, Dad, the song's starting. Have you ever been late for a show before? Not unless this guy fucking steps on it, right? So we're coming up the loading dock from like the old Rexall Arena.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy shit, right? So we come around.
Deer out of nowhere.
Up,
no.
And coming around that little bend there to go to the back doors.
Yeah.
For them to just literally run through the whole colony.
And up the stage.
On the floor and onto the stage.
Yeah.
And three of the drunkest fucking dudes who must have just got kicked out of the show decide to fucking run in front of the SUV.
Oh,
and
fuck. Lark,
just fucking hit him. I can afford the lawsuit. Fucking...
That's amazing. Yo, kids, look away.
And I was just like, holy shit. Like, so I'm just laying on the horn, and then they're like,
fuck, you want to fucking fart? And then Lars just rolls down the window. Hey, fuckhead, get off the fucking road!
And, like, that's amazing.
It was like, oh, fuck, man. Like,
yeah.
I really like him. Like, I really didn't like him for a second because I thought I was going to get blamed for them not getting him on stage in time. But then he just totally, like, chewed these kids out.
That's amazing.
And then they're just...
Do you think they were sober enough to realize what just happened?
They were wasted enough, but to, like, be like, that just fucking happened.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Fucking Lars just told us to fuck off, man. He's fucking... Ah! Like, they just went nuts.
Yeah, typical Lars Alberta.
Told me to fuck off. It's like, we got kicked out of the show. We probably wasted $600 in tickets collectively, but Lars just told us to fuck off.
Worth every penny.
Like, yeah, worth
they
every
drove
penny
in from Bonnie Doon. Bonnieville.
Bonnieville, there you go.
The next day,
Bonnie Doon.
Stryker was the opener.
Yeah.
So they had curated local openers in every city. They
Shout out to Stryker.
Yeah, and they had 3 inches of blood in Vancouver.
Fucking 3 inches of blood rest. So good.
Yeah, so good.
Deadly Sinners.
Lars saw them just, you know, hanging out in, like, one of the main colonnades backstage. And he goes to, like, his tour managers, and he's like, why are these kids getting dressed in the hallway? We're fucking Metallica. They deserve a fucking dressing room. Give them a fucking room. Kick those accountants out of the room. Give them a dressing room. So good on him for, like, sticking up for, like, the local kids and, like, showing them, like, hey, like, you know, we know you're a local band.
You're, like, single-handedly saving Lars's reputation right now.
Lars,
you're doing the Lord's work, Gavin.
Dude, Lars was a pretty cool guy, in my opinion, after I saw that. Like,
that's okay.
Like, you know, he could have just been like, yeah, whatever. But, like, he went out of his way to go and find those kids a dressing room.
Yeah, that's awesome,
and,
man.
And, yeah, if it meant, like, kicking out the accountants from their, like, bean counting that one room and making them pair up with somebody else.
Yeah,
that's
let him have
cool.
the moment, man.
Yeah, so
that's
like,
totally
that
rad.
Was like super fucking awesome to see him do that.
And so like, was that like one of the highlights of your gig so far? Like that shines out of everything you've done?
Because
you were just
like,
recently at Punk and Drublic as well.
Yeah, we did Punk and Drublic. That one was a really good one. Like No Effect put on a wicked show there too.
Yeah.
Like, it, just the whole concept is amazing too. It just sucked that like weather hasn't been on our side this year.
No, not at all.
And like, you know, it was like, well, we planned to move it in and then the thunderstorm that we were fearing didn't roll in until after the show was done.
Yeah.
But you know
you don't
damn
know that.
Well that if we had kept it outside, that storm would have came in and it would have been a thunderstorm, so we'd have to cancel, you know.
You
just,
don't want
like,
that.
Pull everyone off stage, right?
Yeah.
So it happens. Like, I think AC/DC 2009 was probably like the one show everyone was worried about the most being like...
Was that the
that
what
storm?
Commonwealth in the Storm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that storm hit just as they were playing Thunderstruck,
dude, like,
though. You can't pay for that.
We said you could not pay for production like this.
I like, was like way
like,
the fuck
I just
at the
went
top.
As a spectator.
I got pneumonia, but
yeah.
it was
oh,
worth
yeah.
it. Yeah.
That show was amazing too. And like my buddy Takumi, he's Angus's tech.
Yeah.
And he still to this day, it's 10 years later, he's like, man, he'll pull out the pictures and he'll be like, you want to see a nightmare gig to all his guitar tech buddies? And he'll be like, Angus played in the rain with this one guitar and I had to work on this guitar for 6 days till the Vancouver show.
No
like,
shit.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
Just hair dryers. He's like, I blew 3 hair dryers out trying to dry out the guts of that guitar.
Wow.
Like,
that's
so.
Nuts. But you know, side note for a second. You know what you don't need to blow out? You don't need to blow out Concept Beard Co. when you're using it in your beard, because Concept Beard Co. is a fucking hell of a product. When I shop for my beard supplies, I go to ConceptBeardCo. I go to ConceptBeard.com. Son of a bitch, I can't do it.
ConceptBeard.com.
I go to ConceptBeard.com and I use Awesome at checkout to save how much, Ivan?
10%.
Holy fucking shit, I only fucked up 10% of this ad read. So go to ConceptBeardCo and save yourself. Damn, did I do it again? ConceptBeard.com, put it in your beard, ConceptBeardCo. Okay, Gavin, back to blowing shit.
It's all good, yeah.
That's what I do. I blow shit and ruin it. But anyways.
You blow shit.
So you do these gigs. You do these festivals. Is it old hat by now or is it a new adventure every festival,
oh, dude,
every
it's just,
show?
It's always fun to me.
What did like, you think when, because we've heard Ivan's breakdown of Chaos AB.
Yeah.
But you were on the front lines. You were in the trenches. What were you? What was your opinion of it?
Well, I mean...
Professionally,
it's a festival.
It's a festival.
It's a festival. There's going to always be hiccups.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, I wasn't there like everybody else was there putting in the work on that, but like it was a huge festival.
You
with
got
a lot
homies
of moving parts.
There. Yeah.
I got a lot of homies that worked on that, and that's a lot of moving parts, and they did a tremendous job for
considering.
Considering how many people were coming in there.
Yeah.
You know, like Soundtrack Festival is a good little test run for them to like as a case study.
So that's the same. That's not you then. These are your buddies in the industry.
Like,
okay.
Those are also my friend Mike Anderson at Trickstar was doing that one. And like they did a really good job with that one, curating that one too. But that was definitely probably a good like test run to see, okay, we can probably fit this many more people in here with a band like Slayer and Marilyn Manson. And it's a good trade-off too, because if Edmonton's going to get Chaos AB and Calgary already has Chasing Summer, then it's like two festivals that are going to be...
You were down at Chasing Summer as well, right? Yeah. Hanging out with our boy, Steve Aoki.
Oh,
he's done a little something with Blink-182. He's kind of a DJ kind of guy.
He
does
pretty
things.
Decent, I guess, yeah.
So you were down there. I'm not a big electric music fan.
Mm-hmm.
How was that?
It's a huge festival.
Who pays your bills? How are you going to these things? Who are you working for right
now? Well, that's definitely like I was contracted with Live Nation for that one.
Okay, so you're so you get contracts. Because we almost didn't do this tonight because you should have been in Shambhala from what you were saying.
Yeah.
So how does that work? You're a hitter. You just you pick up the phone and they're like, "Hey, Gav."
Well, someone will call me
skills.
And they'll be like, "Hey, can you come and can you make this? Can you do this one or whatever?" And that's usually how it works.
So do you do a wide array of things? You're not just taking photos. You're not just picking people up. Like you're a MacGyver type, Gavin. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you do it all.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do you fall into that? You went from the Universal gig thing to just being
just
a jack of all
being
trades.
Being around like all that, having an interest in production stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Like I mean. Just getting out and doing it is like the best
thing
to do.
That's how you
do
it. That's how you cut your teeth.
Like, I mean, with you guys with podcasting, it was probably just like, let's try it until we get it right, right?
Yeah,
like,
we just throw it. We're still,
you know,
like,
and like you still study like what you need, what you can do. To
you
get
were
it
here
going.
For that ad
yeah.
read.
Yeah.
So. We're learning as we go.
Yeah, I know exactly. but you know, it's just literally like find out what you like.
And yeah.
Just get into it. Like that's what I did. So
now that we're at the second half of the podcast, let's get into the passion project. That's what was paying the bills. These cool stories, the Metallicas, the NoFX's. That was paying the bills.
The
That's just cool.
Yeah, all that.
That's
stuff,
all paying the bills. But you're doing stuff on the side. You're wearing a wicked awesome flannel.
Thank you.
So you do clothing. You're also doing stuff with local promoter Thad.
Yes.
Thaddeus
Archer the Third.
Promoter and commissioner of PWA.
Edmonton commissioner of Prairie Wrestling Alliance. Yes.
So that's a passion project. Yeah, I also heard you're making documentaries. So let's hear about the passion projects that is Bally Bay Road Productions.
Yes, Bally Bay Road Productions.
Wait, so, Bally Bay Road is actually a place in Ireland.
Yes, Bally Bay is the village that I'm from. That's where my dad's from.
Okay.
And Bally Bay Road's just the main road.
Okay, fair enough.
Which is like a three-street town.
You might as well call your production company
Back
main
home
road.
Or something.
Yeah,
you know?
No, I'm just kidding.
But that's where it's from, and it's just kind of like a little homage to like where dad came from and where I
A little
came
tip of the hat.
So, yeah, exactly. And,
I dig it.
You know, like, it's got nothing else there.
Yeah.
So I figured, well, if I can do something, maybe I'll put it on the map with just this name if I can do one good project.
That's
right?
fucking awesome. So let's talk passion projects. Where do you want to start first? You're driving.
We'll go with Puck Hockey.
Okay, so Puck Hockey is an apparel company.
Yeah, it's a hockey lifestyle apparel company.
Okay.
Started working with them a couple years ago.
Kind of like a gong show?
Yeah, gong show sauce, violent gentleman kind of like vibe. But we work with a lot of bands.
Okay.
And we do collabs, like as well as our own label stuff. Which, like we did a lot of parodies for fast food restaurants.
Fair
enough. Their logos. We did like...
Well, you're wearing an All Hail the Yeti Oilers shirt.
Yeah, so we do the collabs with the bands. And this was one of the collab items that we had done with All Hail the Yeti.
Yeah.
If anybody hasn't checked them out yet. Wicked LA band with huge Edmonton connections.
Fucking bud.
Ryan Kitlitz on drums.
Okay.
And Connor Garrity on vocals.
Sick.
Both Edmonton boys. And, you know, it's not just like All Hail the Yeti. They have, geez, man, the roster's getting huge now because it's not just bands now. They're starting to do Adult Swim. They did a collab with Mr. Pickles.
Yeah.
Cool.
And Matt was telling me, like, this is the only time we've had anybody send us back our artwork saying, make it more satanic.
That's amazing. Well,
like,
Mr. Pickles.
Testament, you know, Rivers of Nile, all of these metal bands. And, like, that's the cartoon says, no, make this more
But Adult
satanic.
Swim is fucking amazing.
Dude, Mr. Pickles is an amazing show.
Right?
I haven't seen it. Like,
so how do you get involved with Puck Hockey?
It was literally because of All Hail the Yeti.
Yeah.
Getting the contact to them and just, like, talking on Facebook and, like, hey, like, this is what the guys are kind of thinking. And then, I threw some more of my ideas, and then it was like, yeah, that's a good idea. And next thing you know, I'm just kind of in the fold, helping everybody get the stuff out there, get more.
And now
out
you're
there.
Repping it in Canada. Like, yeah. Are you the Western Canada dude? You're the guy.
There's two of us here in Edmonton that are, like, exclusive, like, working with Puck and trying to really get it going more in Canada.
Yeah.
It is an American-based brand right now, but we want to build a Canadian shop so that we can sell to Canadians directly.
Well, look at Violet Gentlemen. They were American. They're out of Anaheim, and they've blown up. So why can't fucking Puck Hockey? You know what I'm saying?
We're getting there. It's a boutique brand right now, basically. Not a lot of large runs or anything.
No.
Not really retail sales. It's more direct online.
That's how you start, though.
Puck Hockey, PUCKHCKY.com. And if you guys enter the rink at checkout, you'll get 10% off. And we got orders over $100, get free shipping. So
get the fuck out.
Damn.
Puckhockey.com. Go check it out.
So check it out. You got all kinds of bands on there. We got a collab with Snoop, Rivers of Nile, Cannibal Corpse.
Cannibal Corpse coming through here. So there's November 1st, they'll be in Edmonton.
That November 1st is going to be wicked, right after Halloween.
Yeah.
So too bad they couldn't play Halloween here that night.
Right?
That'd be nuts.
That would have been wicked.
Fuck, I'm not going to be here. I'll be in Anaheim.
Oh, so it wouldn't even bother?
No. Okay. Well, we applied anyways. We've been trying to get more press passes, so we reached out to them.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, no, that's awesome, dude. One of my favorite hockey band collabs or ripoffs, Comeback Kid, when they took the Jets logo.
The Jets, yeah.
I've loved that fucking knockoff
forever.
And Misery
Signals did the Oilers as well.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Fucking shout out to Misery Signals.
Yeah, right.
Malice and Men is an amazing album. Yeah. Was he doing anything? Wasn't he?
I just saw a post today that he was driving from Boise, Idaho to Edmonton in one shot.
Just because? That sounds horrible.
For Misery Signals, bro.
Really?
You know?
No. I dig it.
Put it in the miles.
Gotta do it. So from Puck Hockey, you're also doing your own thing. You're making documentaries and stuff.
Yeah, so like Ballybay Road Productions is basically like a full service content creation like company that I'm doing for myself and like helping out my friends too.
Yeah.
But one of the projects that's kind of like started and it's been a bit of a plague on like me is and with everybody I talked to in LA.
Yeah.
Is Mark Twitchell.
Yeah, there we go. So, the Twitchell.
You know, because I went to I was in class with him.
He went to FX?
No, not in FX. At
Neat.
Oh, I freaked the fuck out. I was like, what?
Yeah.
No.
Twitchell went to O'Leary.
Oh, that's and why we didn't go, bro. But, we didn't want to fucking kill somebody.
Benoit went to O'Leary, too. Chris Benoit. But weird coincidence. Mark Twitchell and Chris Benoit grew up on the same street.
Get the fuck out.
Same block. Yeah. It's so weird. Like, two famous, world-famous murderers from Edmonton grew up on the same street.
Well, Benoit
Northside, bro.
Strong or you're not. Mm-hmm. But with Benoit, his brain broke because of drugs, did it not? Like, wasn't it the roids and everything?
It was the CTE.
Yeah.
For sure. Like,
he'd hit his head a couple times.
He had the brain of an 87-year-old Alzheimer patient.
Yeah.
Chris Nowitzki, he used to be a WWE wrestler, too.
Yeah.
He asked Chris's dad if he could have his brain to study.
Yeah.
And that was one of the first things that he discovers. Like, he had the brain trauma of an 87-year-old Alzheimer's patient.
It's crazy, eh?
Just concussion
for
after 42 concussion.
Years old,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, just nonstop concussions.
Yeah.
And, like, it's sad to see, like, that is what happened. But, I mean, like, we weren't there. We'll never know. But it's just crazy enough that, like, it's a guy from our city.
So, like, it's nuts. And it was a big name. Like, a lot of people thought Benoit and think Benoit was an amazing athlete, which he was. Well, dude, it's just a shame that that's how it ended.
It's a shame that his legacy in the WWE,
but he'll never make it into the
as a wrestler.
Yeah, he'll never make it to
he'll
the Hall
never
of Fame.
Be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think they'll ever put anything listed under his name on the network.
No,
you know, like if you're smart and you know how, like before they changed the algorithms, if you knew his match card,
you
used to be able to find his matches by his opponents.
Gotcha.
But it was never tagged Chris Benoit.
No,
and then there were certain things that they could just never edit him out of.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's sad that his legacy will never really be seen or remembered, and that's what Brett was trying to avoid.
Yeah,
with that whole thing too.
Yeah.
That's why he buried the hatchet with Vince.
Right? Because at the end of the day, like Brett's looking at the end of the road, and he's like, "I want my legacy. I want to leave that for those behind me."
WWE owns the Stampede Library.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not just his library of all those old matches in the Stampede wrestling days that he's worried about losing.
Yeah.
It's everybody else's, right?
Yeah. So. That's crazy. He was just in Toronto for SummerSlam. He was wearing a Raptors jersey.
Yeah.
He had they did a WWE line of Converse, and Brett had his own Converse, his own shoe. Yeah, seriously. It was black, and then it had like the bright pink Brett. Yeah, Brett. Yeah.
That was pretty dope.
They outline Brett with the shades.
Yeah,
that they used to put on t-shirts. Shades, yeah, man.
So. It'd be cool to just have that heart that they had for the heart attack on the side.
Right? Yeah. He has a store you can buy stuff from. But
yeah, Hitman's got a store you can buy stuff with. Yeah. He's got a couple little like collab deals as well.
With that Roots of Fighting he has.
Roots of Fighting, that shirt is amazing.
It's so rad.
The Stampede Corral.
Yeah, where he looks like a child.
Yeah.
But so the Twitchell thing. Why did you want to make a documentary on Twitchell besides the fact that it's crazy?
My buddy Bill
in
LA, he's got a gallery called Hyena Gallery.
Okay.
And he focuses on a lot of weird, funky art. But
yeah.
If you follow him on Instagram at Hyena Gallery, he's got all these like cool true crime posts every day.
Yeah,
and some of them are like 7 posts long because he's just got so much info to get through and stuff. But he was like, dude, you need to make a documentary about this because like you're so close to it, and like every time anybody mentions Edmonton like in the movie industry,
yeah,
they always think of that whole situation.
Yeah, man.
Dateline and 48-hour mystery.
It was a big fucking deal.
All of these like American media companies were coming up here to cover it. Well, we had a media blackout going on up here. Like Fifth Estate couldn't do shit on it until after he was convicted.
Yeah,
you know, like it was nuts too. Like just like how much went into it. But if you're really interested in like the case, read Steve Lillibune's book, The Devil's Cinema.
Oh, okay,
Steve was the he worked for the Edmonton Journal.
Okay.
And he covered that case.
Really?
And his book is pretty in-depth.
Yeah.
On that whole thing. And that was like where I got a lot of my material for what I'm working on there too.
Yeah. I heard a rumor that you were in the garage and it all went down.
Well, no, I was outside the garage.
You were outside the garage.
And from what I was, after I made that post,
yeah,
I've been able to find out who's renting it, and it's
really
a brother of one of my friends.
Okay.
So I'm working on getting into the garage.
That's nuts. That's
so if
cool,
I can
man.
Get into the garage, that'll be cool for
so
like
will this
that.
Be the first major doc that you've done?
It'll be like a mini doc, yeah. Probably like 30 to 40 minutes.
Okay.
Nothing too major, but you know, it's like a next to nothing budget I'm working on my own time. Right?
Yeah, no shit. Passion project.
Yeah, just doing it like for whatever, and it's just kind of like get it out, just get it done, and just be like, hey, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Yeah, I'm done. I've officially like, washed myself.
Because and like it's so weird because like that garage, like one of the wrestlers that used to wrestle for me at MPW, he lived like 2 doors down from that.
That's nuts.
And, like that was his parents' house, and he's like, I was probably smoking a joint while that guy was getting murdered.
That's fucked. Like, see, I'd bring that shit up on random thoughts. Like, you probably fucking served the person their last meal and not know it.
Yeah, last week there. And
right?
Like,
yeah.
And, like, he was like, I probably was smoking a joint, walking my dog.
That's
right past
fucking
this guy
nuts.
Getting murdered or when he was getting cut up.
And you
I
never
like,
know.
I was like, yeah, that is pretty wild. To think
well,
about like
one
that.
Of the random thoughts I had this week is you've probably been in the same room as a murderer that got away with it.
Yeah.
Statistically,
it's
probably
it's
happened
probably
at some
happened.
Point in your life. Mm-hmm. That's fucking nuts. So from Twitchell to doing that, so you keep bringing up wrestling.
Yeah.
You're a wrestling fan.
Oh, dude, I'm a mark for wrestling.
You're a mark for wrestling.
Yeah.
So that's another passion project to
do.
So what do you do with the PWA? What do you do with the wrestling
industry?
Well, PWA
industry? Right now, I'm just doing Thad's video work for the Archer Report, which is like our weekly locker room report.
I don't want to get too much into that because I want to have
Thad
here.
Yeah, yeah,
but
for sure.
So you're doing that.
Yeah.
So you're producing all of that. He's the character.
He's
and
the host.
Your...
He's the man of the show.
Yeah.
And then I'm just filming it all, and then we have an editor who edits those episodes.
Okay.
And you know, our buddy Dave's putting those together, and because he knows the formula since you know, I just started working with him when he moved over to PWA.
Yeah.
I used to work with MPW.
Okay.
For a long time.
Monster
Pro Wrestling.
Yeah.
And I was like bringing the MPW to the festivals.
So how do you fall into that? You're just going to the shows, enjoying the local.
It was filming
and then...
it. Like I was helping out with filming it because it was my friend Trevor Grimolson at the time was kind of running MPW with Massive Damage.
What was on Access? Shaw Access?
They
run
A Channel.
They run A Channel. Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's how you fell into it? Or?
Yeah. And like when I was in with them, it was just after they had finished their TV kind of deal. So
okay.
They were trying to get back on TV and they were like, yeah, my buddy Trevor's like, yeah, you know how to use a camera? Come on down here and fucking help out. Like,
yeah.
And if you knew Trevor,
yeah.
Like, he was just that kind of guy who'd just be like, fuck, whatever. Just come and fucking film the thing here.
Yeah.
And then throw me $100 every time to
come
and help out.
But you get to watch shows for free, so you're
like
fuck
hang
it.
Out, watch shows, get to know the guys and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, you know, only watching like it on TV,
yeah,
you know, and like getting to see it live, it's a different experience. But once you start to like see the boys and how it works,
yeah,
and it's kind of like a band.
Yeah.
Almost. Like they're just fucking gypsies.
Yeah,
like,
man.
You know, they're carnies.
Yeah.
They really are. Like a lot of that wrestling culture is based in carnival culture.
Yeah.
Like, all the work, like
the traveling
the terminology.
Show. Yeah.
Like marks. Like,
yeah.
You know, carnies used to say, oh, like, there's my mark. That's the idiot I'm going to rob. Like,
yeah, I'm going
like,
to take all of his
take
money.
All his money.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's with them, it's like, these are the idiots that think this is fucking real.
Yeah.
Right.
And we're going to have fun.
But then there's
with
the
them.
Smart marks on the internet, too. Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, God bless some of the, like, wrestling fans that just love it.
Yeah.
Like, because
oh,
if
yeah.
it wasn't for them, there'd be no show.
No, but right? there's three major right now, right? Mm-hmm. So, as I bump the table. So, there's PWA.
Yeah.
Monster's not around anymore, is
they
it?
They still are.
They are?
They're still running shows, and they just started running shows on the south side now, I saw.
Okay.
They've got a pretty decent roster from what I've been seeing on some of the guys,
yeah.
too. I did a show in Red Deer with CWE, and they had a couple of Monster Pro Wrestling guys on it.
Okay.
And I liked what I saw with those guys, and they were great.
Yeah.
Great guys, great characters and everything, great gimmicks. So
do you have any, okay, just to take a break from the wrestling, do you have any, like, what's the horror story? What band or, like, who was the
worst
to work with? Because we're coming to close to the end of the show. And I want to have you on again because I feel like we've just hit the tip of the iceberg with your stories.
Yeah.
But what's the worst experience you've had that you were just like, that fucking sucked?
I won't work with this motherfucker.
Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Yeah, really, hey?
Yeah.
Really?
And then it was like so sad because like last fall,
yeah.
my friend Danny Duggan from Winnipeg, CWE, he does a touring
yeah.
show. Like he does four major tours every year. He's got a show next week here in Edmonton with Warlord.
Okay.
And, you know, he had he's coming with Juventud Guerrera, and he had Psychosis the last time.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, Danny's, like, putting in work, you know, and he was running a show in St. Albert with Brutus and stuff. And, you know, before all that went down, I was, like, texting him, like, are you sure you really want to book this one?
Yeah.
Like, because he was a bit of a nightmare for me, and that was before he had knee surgery.
Yeah.
So
he's just a Madonna
now. He's not working.
Yeah.
Like, and with me, he was working.
Yeah.
And he was just a nightmare, like... I gave him his contract. I gave him everything. Like, this is what you're getting paid per day.
So you were booking guys
like
then,
I was
too.
I was booking my card for the festival.
Yeah.
Because Sonic Boom and X-Fest, I was getting paid to put the wrestling in between the bands.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, if you want me to put on a really good show, let's fly in some of these legends
yeah.
to really attract people to the ring. And, like, had my buddy
Was that the year the Descendants played? Sonic Boom?
No.
No. That was the year after?
That was the year...
Last Sonic Boom before they went to Field Day?
The first few Sonic Booms is when we had it.
Okay.
Yeah. And then it was so funny, too, because, like, first year we brought in Honky Tonk Man and Dan Severn.
Yeah.
Great. Like, it was great until the last day. Honky Tonk Man, like, God bless him. You know, we had their rooms at the Coliseum Inn because it was close. Because he didn't want to be too far from the venue of the shows.
Yeah.
And we were running MPW down the street at the Alberta Ave Community Hall.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, I got him the good rooms because I knew the managers at the Coliseum. And let's,
yeah.
like, face it, sometimes the Coliseum doesn't have the best reputation. But
no.
they got some great upgraded rooms there on the top
I feel
floor.
Like the Coliseum's really taken a hit once Rexall
yeah,
is gone.
It did. And like, especially with Pinkies, because, like,
yeah.
that's where
yeah,
I was
yeah.
managing, too. And it was, like, so funny because, like, he just sat there all night after the festival, went to the liquor store in the parking lot
because
his room was facing Rexall.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I used to sell out some bitch rings like this every night. Me and Hulk Hogan selling out arenas. It's like, no, Hulk Hogan was selling out the arenas, Roy. You were just the fucking mid-card. Like,
Lord,
I love
it.
You. I fucking respect what you've done, dude.
Yeah.
But, like, seriously, it wasn't you selling out these arenas. It was
awesome.
And, like, Dan Severn, like,
yeah.
you know, they're both flying to Arizona.
Yeah.
Dan's based in Coldwater, Michigan, but he went to college in Phoenix, and he has a house there. So he comes in all the time. And Dan doesn't drink, doesn't do anything. And he's just like, Gavin, did you book me next to him? I was like, no. He's like, thank you. As long as I don't have to babysit him, I'm good.
We're good. Yeah.
Like,
I'm just going to go hang
you know,
out.
Like, it was just so funny because Dan was just like, I'm just going to make sure he gets on through customs.
Yeah.
And then after that, I don't
He's
know.
He's your him. Problem, Gavin. Yeah.
Like, I don't know him. Like, and I'm done at that point. I
yeah.
just dropped them off, but I was like, I'm going to stick around in case he can't get on this plane.
Yeah.
yeah Brutus was just every worst thing that could have ever happened. It was like, Honky, I thought that was the worst with being drunk and dealing
yeah.
with him. Not with Brutus, man. It was like, we had bottle
Brutus
service.
Brutus was the wrestler at this point.
On one of the clubs at White Ave, they, like, wanted us there.
Yeah.
Gave us, like, three bottles. he grabbed the bottle of Jack
yeah.
and just sat in the corner. And, like, the bottle service girl's like, I have to part for you. He's like, no, you fucking don't. Like, he's just drinking it all. And then we're like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
And then he's almost beating the shit out of some kids. Like, because they were, like, trying to, like, sneak a drink. I'm like, dude, just kick him out of the section. You don't need to beat the fuck out of them. Like,
no, I don't think you realize it. I beat the fuck out of people. Yeah, that's what I do.
It's like, and, like... It's hard for me to even like be serious because I got my midget wrestler short sleeve Samson.
Yeah,
he's loaded on Red Bulls.
Yeah,
and he's picking people up. Like he does this thing where he'll like sneak up behind you and he'll just get underneath your legs and just pick you up
and you're done. Yeah,
and just stand up with you and then he runs around the bar like with you on his shoulders.
Yeah, and you're trying not to fall.
And you're trying like not to fall off his shoulders, but he's just like, no, fuck you. You're going for a ride like an ostrich right now. Like
that's awesome.
So I'm trying to be like, no, you don't need to fight him. Fuck, what's going on? Like, midgets running around. And then we got Gangrel, like, sitting in the
fucking
corner.
Dude.
And, like, Gangrel. He was, like, trying to hit up, like, hit on, like, 21-year-old girls. That was it. He's like, if they're 21.
Seriously?
He's like, 21, that's it.
He's not trying 18, to add to his covenant.
Not 22. They gotta be 21. And I was like, I respect that. He knows what he likes.
Yeah.
And at that point, he's like, well, at least they're legal. I was like, no, but it's 18 here. He's like, yeah, but fake ID. I don't trust fake IDs.
And 21 gives you that bumper space.
Yeah,
but Gangrel,
he was great, man.
I thought he was
Dave,
rad.
He was awesome, man.
Really?
Like, yeah, he was such a good worker, too. Like,
didn't he have Christian and Edge with him at one point, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He broke Christian and Edge in the WWE, right?
Edge just showed... Was it Edge that showed up at SummerSlam last night? Yeah.
Yeah, he went...
Fucking speared Elias.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I think he speared him. Yeah, I think that's how that went.
SummerSlam was a great time in Toronto this year. Like,
yeah.
Was cool seeing Mo Jabari from PWA there walking Goldberg to the ring.
That's pretty awesome.
Shout out to Mo. That was pretty rad seeing some of the local guys.
Sweet, man. Worst band you've worked with to finish the show off? Can you even say that or can you lose your job? Because if you don't want to say it, give yourself some...
No, we've had like some terrible situations. I mean, like I don't really want to say names, but like I've had some shitty situations.
Yeah.
Like
where you just like you question why you're doing this.
I had an artist complain like, you... didn't get us fucking cocaine.
Oh, so that's
like
a
that's
thing,
a
eh?
Thing though.
But,
yeah,
but it wasn't a band you'd expect it from.
That, really?
That I
and then
it was it Creed?
No. Like Scott Stapp. Like dude, like
I, you have a Scott story?
No,
oh, okay.
I wish I did. I wish
cocaine,
I did.
Cocaine, hookers, and videotapes.
I the only thing I got about like Creed is when I made fun of them with. Scott McCord and Warren on the Bear when they were doing like he's playing a vape convention and then I
seriously?
Called in and like pretending I was some guy from Jersey like, hey, I'll tell you how the show's gonna go, you with this Scott guy, huh? Like
that's amazing.
Yeah, no, but that like that guy's really hit the skids too.
So
man.
who's the band? You can tell us
I'll
off
tell
air.
You, I'll tell you,
you
off
tell,
air.
Tell,
I'll
us
tell
off
you
air.
Off air, but yeah, it was shocking.
Dude, duh. Cliffhanger for next time you're on the show. Gavin, it's been a blast.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
This is the time.
It's been a pleasure, my man.
Dude, the fucking hour flew by. We could talk for another hour, but you know what? We'll save you. We'll save you for another show.
Yeah, for sure. I'll bring that in, not next week, but the week after, maybe?
Okay, we'll figure that out after the show.
And you guys want to come to PWA this week, probably.
Yeah,
right?
When is that?
It's this Saturday.
Is it this Saturday?
Yeah. Oh, I'm wedding.
You're at a wedding.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to talk to my wife, but we're going to talk.
We'll work something out to get you guys to a PWA
show.
Cool.
We'll figure it out. But this is the part of the episode where you get to plug yourself. You get to let us know where we can find stuff and things that you're doing. Promote yourself.
All right. So at OnlyGavinEver on Instagram, you can follow me there. You can see all the pictures of all the scantily clad girls that I've been taking and posting there.
We didn't even talk about your photography.
Yeah,
that's
another fun topic, which has been great. Almost getting arrested outside. Well,
is that picture at the cop shop real?
Yeah, 100%.
That is fucking 100%.
Amazing. And it was funny too because we had 6 cops come out. 3 didn't give a shit. They just stood there and watched. The other 3 came like, we're getting calls about this. I'm like, are you really?
I doubt it.
Are you really?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, well, you can't do this here. Well, why not? It's a public building
I pay my taxes.
Like, and I pay my taxes with, you know, and I'm on the sidewalk and I'm not really disturbing anybody. And he just was getting so mad that he knew that I knew he couldn't do shit.
Yeah.
He's like, just
they hate
go.
That.
And, but the best was when he asked me, what are you using these for?
Yeah.
And I was like, clout.
Yeah.
He's like, who's Cloud? Like some French, like some creepy French
dude. My name
French
is Cloud.
Dude.
I'm taking
like,
the pictures.
Yes, take this girl down to EPS headquarters and take the picture of her looking like the hooker.
Whatever you,
know, you like,
say, Cloud.
Yeah, sure, Cloud. Like, you know, like, and they were just like, as soon as I said it twice, and he's like, I was like,
Never mind. It's all good.
If you want to see the picture he's talking about, go to the @onlygavinever on Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else can we find you? Anything else?
Puck Hockey. PUCKHCKY.com. If you guys enter the rink on your checkout of any of your orders over $100, you're going to get free shipping, international shipping on that.
Sick. We'll tag them in this
10%
episode.
Off on the rink checkout code there for you guys as well.
Perfect.
Help you out with the exchange rate. I know it sucks right now, but we'll get the Canadian stuff sorted soon.
Okay.
And yeah, we're going to have the new stuff with the new website, the Canuck Box, for all my expat friends.
Perfect.
And all of that ready to roll probably in the next couple weeks. So that website will be pretty nice to show off.
Clickable on the Instagram.
Yes, it'll be pretty nice to show off by then. So.
Sweet. Well, Gavin, it was a hell of a time. I can't wait to sit down with you and Thad next time.
No problem.
Have some fun. So yeah, that's an episode. I'm Alec.
Jean-Paul Ivan.
And I'm Gavin.
Stay awesome.
That was another episode of The Awesome Hour. You can get all our info at theawesomehour.com. Don't forget to rate and review us, follow our social media, and leave a comment below. Stay awesome.